made a huge upset.
Your 2021 Eastern Conference Champion.
Oh, that is a delicious goal for Tampa Bay.
And now, you're tuned into Tampa Bay's RBLR Sports.
Hello, everyone out there in Tampa Bay and beyond. This is James Knowles coming at you for the RBLR Sports Podcast. I am here tonight to cover the Rowdies like I usually do. And not only that, my usual voice is back. We're doing a little bit better, folks. We have, let's say, recovered from the loss that I described last week from the U.S. blowing it in their biggest game ever, only a little while after Scotland had done similar. Carlos, I think that you can unfortunately understand where I'm coming from with both of those. But now we get to bask in the glory of England losing in a semifinal. Folks, everybody, please join me in taking a moment to remember that England has lost, and that's fantastic. Carlos, that means I'm sure Argentina. You are not as happy about the other side of that equation.
Yeah, I mean, Argentina won. My hate watch didn't go well, but you know, regardless, at this point in the tournament, you're only going to get the favorites that everybody hates on at some point or another. So,
yeah, that's true.
Good game. Great game. Ridiculous game. Yeah, I don't know, man. You always think, not always, but this tournament has always felt like Argentina is just like barely hanging on.
Yeah.
And then it just happens at the end. And you're like, wow, okay, well, not much you can say other than just enjoy it. Fun afternoon. I was at one of the big soccer bars around here in Arlington. Voted actually the best soccer bar in the country by Men in Blazers this year. Ireland's four courts in Arlington, Virginia, specifically off of the Courthouse Metro stop. So if you're ever in the area, go check it out. I actually ran into a family I was visiting from Tampa that I didn't know, but they were wearing some Tampa gear. And I was like, what are you guys doing? They're visiting, and they heard about the bar. And everyone had a great time, except the England fans. Who
are they, Rowdies fans, though?
They were Rowdies knowers. They saw my jersey that I was wearing, and we chit-chatted about Rowdies for a second. Maybe they go out to the game this weekend. Who knows?
Nice.
Probably not, because they'll be back home in Tampa. Speaking of game this weekend, there's a game this weekend, and it's up here in my neck of the woods, which I'm thrilled about. We'll talk about it a little bit more later on in the podcast. Hopefully it's a comfortable win. I have a pretty good record when we go play at Loudoun, and I'm there in person. Yeah, so hopefully we keep that up. James, what's going on? How are you doing? Other than celebrating England's win, or England's loss, sorry.
I'm doing well for that reason. I had to pull myself out of my usual group chats after the prior loss for Scotland and then the disastrous loss by the U.S. As I said last week, I really was a lot more focused on Scotland, but the U.S.'s good results had pulled me in, and to see them lose like that was pretty bad. So ultimately, soccer sads come for all of us at one point or another, and you know, you're gonna get past it at some point. Any English people listening to this, should you be, just know that I'm basking in this now because Scotland got their asses handed to them already. So you can enjoy that part of it. And remember, we're all going to feel like this at some point for the most part, but every so often a team that you support wins a trophy that you would like to see them win, which is most trophies. And I'm going to use that to segue us into what we're actually talking about here, which is Carlos, the Tampa Bay Rowdies.
Yes, sir.
This past weekend, they played a game in the USL Cup, so-called the USL Prinks Tires Cup. I'm not really going to stick with that. We're just going to go back to Jaeger Cup for the rest of the show. But this week, they will also take on Loudoun United in the league again and try to push themselves towards, hopefully, some other hardware. So there are at least two trophies on the line here, unless there is some secret third that I don't know about, because the Open Cup is unfortunately not available this year. We will see how these two go. And subscribe to us on YouTube, any major podcast platform. And of course, please follow RBLR Sports on all your social medias at RBLR Sports. I will do a quick recap of this weekend's past game, and then we will get going into a little bit longer one for how we were able to beat Naples. In net was Jamali Waite. In front of him were Sebastian Cruz, Yannis Lehrmann, Leland Archer, and Isaiah LaFleur. Lewis Hilton and Pedro Dolabella started behind Evan Conway, Marco Micheletto, and Gino Vivi, with Carson Henderlong up top. Leland Archer came off, I think, in the second minute of this game. So, unfortunately, he might not be available for us relatively soon. We'll see, obviously, how this goes. And then Nathan Dos Santos came in for him and played out the rest of the game. So Nathan Dos Santos also not getting too much of a break over this past weekend. Both goals for the Rowdies came in the first half in very quick succession, towards the end of the first half, in fact. And that was actually all that we needed here. Very positive in that sense, although you probably would have expected a couple more goals considering where Naples are. That being said, a win is a win. We win the group in the USL Cup, and we move on. And we're going to get into our next opponent in a little bit here. I don't think that that should be the focus of this, but it should be noted. So the Rowdy secured first place, like I said, and on Wednesday, the 12th of August, they will play Louisville City at home at Allen Stadium. Interesting that that's the way that it has worked out, that not only are we playing at home, that's probably good because we did so well in our group. I think that, you know, you can earn a place in the home stadium, but we are playing Louisville City. Not that we shouldn't be able to beat Louisville City under the current circumstances, but let's not get ahead of our skis there. It's just interesting that immediately we are playing this team of all of them. All the more reason, I guess, to knock them out early and not have to worry about it.
And I'll tell you what, there were tougher draws, I would say. It's interesting how this tournament works, right? It's seven group winners plus the best second place team, which ended up being Miami FC because they blew out Sarasota this weekend to get in with the goal scored tiebreaker. If you're curious, the matchups are Charlotte Independence versus Hartford Athletic in Charlotte, San Antonio FC in San Antonio versus Miami FC, Spokane Velocity versus Colorado Springs Switchbacks in Spokane. Notice two of the eight teams that qualified into the knockout rounds of this tournament are League One teams. Very respectable from Spokane and Charlotte Independence, who were not in like any easy groups or anything like that. Charlotte Independence was in a group with, where were they? With Pittsburgh Riverhounds, Charlotte Battery. That's Charlotte Battery, sorry. Charleston Battery, who is probably the heavy favorite to win that group. And then a couple other League One teams, and Richmond Kickers and Greenville Triumph. And then Spokane was in a group with Sacramento Republic. Again, probably the favorites in that group by a wide margin. And then Las Vegas Lights, Monterey Bay, Oakland Roots SC, and one other League One team in AC Boise. Who gave Sacramento a really tough run. I think this past weekend was that game, which helped Spokane get into the knockout rounds, winning the group. So just really interesting stuff happening in this cup. I know it's still new, and people are still probably getting used to like what it really is and what it means in the context of the season and what it means for your club. But it's exciting, James, that like, I mean, we won't talk about Louisville too much yet because we'll save that for when we get to that game. August 12th, which is coming up quick already, but get excited. But the big story
is here before we know it.
Yeah. And by the way, we'll play Louisville 11 days before that again at home. So we'll get to know them pretty well by the time we roll around to August 12th. The big storyline is that we are three games away from a trophy. A meaningful trophy, a real trophy with all the teams in the USL participating. Say what you want about, you know, how much it means to you, but it's a real trophy that everybody's competing for. And I'm glad that we're playing at home to open it up. But if we're taking out one of the best teams early on, even better. So should be a great matchup. Look forward to it. But let's talk a little bit more about this game, James, because that's what we were talking about. First of all, I do want to shout out myself for getting the score prediction right. The official RBLR sports standings in terms of the prediction game as it stands is Eureka on 24 points, myself on 22, Connor on 17, James on 16, and writer Parker on 14, who's joined us live on the pod a couple times now. I'm catching up to Eureka, so don't get too comfortable up there, Eureka. This was a really fun game against Naples, James. I think we took care of business pretty early. It's kind of like the big storyline.
Yes.
Not the storyline, but kind of the recap right? We took a little bit in that first half to actually put that first goal into the net, but they came in pretty quick succession. Hender Long in the 41st minute, Conway in the 44th. And we didn't really need to do much else. We just kind of rode that to victory. I called it professional in our like group chat, because that's kind of been the theme of when we played against some of these lesser opponents in our group in the USL Cup. We played Jacksonville and beat them 2-0. We played Sarasota Paradise at home and beat them 2-0. We played FC Naples at home. We beat them 2-0. And I would say all of those were pretty comfortable games, especially talking about Sarasota Paradise, another League One team who was struggling. Like, that was a very comfortable 2-0 win, and very similar story to this game. You just get that second goal, and there wasn't really any need to press. Even more so in this game when we had already won the group. Like, there was no need. There was no difference whether we scored 5 goals, 6 goals, or even if we lost by like 20. Like, it wouldn't really have meant anything other than just getting the vibes back on track after a disappointing result against Lexington on July 4th, and then back-to-back home loss the week, the last time we were at home before that against Hartford. For those of you that are really in the loop, like if you're watching this podcast, you probably are, you probably came across the friendly that we played last Wednesday too, which I think was a little bit weird for vibes, at least in the fan, like in the, you know, the very intense fan circles that make up Ralph's Mob and Skyway Casuals, people that are really tuned in. So I think there was a little bit of just kind of like funky vibes that we wanted to shake off too. Personally, I'm just speaking. And I think we did that pretty well against Naples. So we'll get rid of that weird friendly and won't talk about it ever again. We'll get rid of that Lexington game, put it away from our heads, and the Hartford game. We'll just keep focusing on what's ahead. But took care of business against Naples. We can talk a little bit about the game itself, because I'm just kind of talking about the 30,000 feet kind of highlights of it. By the way, if you're listening to this live, thanks for joining us right after that crazy Argentina-England game. Give us your thoughts. What do you think about this game? What do you think about the game this weekend? What do you think about our matchup against Louisville coming up in the Prince Tigers Cup? That's a fun draw. James, what did you make of the game itself? Like, was there anything that really stood out to you? Anything about the lineup other than Hender Long being the GOAT of the USL Prince Tigers Cup and just dominating this game because it's the Prince Tigers Cup? Any talking points you want to start with regarding the game specifically?
Yes, Hender Long is a very good player when it comes to the Prince Tigers Cup. I hope he keeps that up all the way through, and he should continue to get playing time because he's obviously served us well through here. So yeah, that's my opinion there. I think one of the larger talking points you have already gone through as well, and that's just the professionalism, so to speak, the you know, getting it done. In a setting where you're supposed to. There are a lot of those, you know, we hear the phrase trap game, right? And this isn't necessarily a trap game because I don't think that it would have actually impacted the standings for us, but it's good to win every game that you can, especially in my opinion, obviously after having, I think it was a bit of a fluke result that it occurred this way, but we did just lose 4-1 to Lexington.
Yeah.
So
we were down 3-0 at halftime. Just weird, weird vibes. Yeah.
Weird vibes. I don't know exactly how that one happened. Everybody that I spoke with after the game, the coach, I think it was Sebastian Cruz as well. They talked about, you know, that they had started that game slowly and that in their, I guess, lethargy in the early parts of that one, they let the game get away from them. So it's always good if you can get a good bounce back, and Naples offered the opportunity to do that, and the team took it. So that's good. They did not get stuck in the trap game, and I'm happy with that. On the other side of things, they probably could have looked better in moments, but the two goals that they scored, just they took them so well and handled, like, the build-up to the second goal. There was a header that was sent back across the six-yard box, but it was cleared. And one of the Rowdies players, I couldn't see who it was, but he tracked the ball back down from a Naples player. He took it off him like it was so easy and put it back into the box. And then they did the same thing. They cut it back across the six-yard box one more time. This time it worked out. That's perfect. That's what you want to see. Unfortunately, on The negatives, I mentioned, yeah, we probably could have got a couple more goals, and I might have expected us to run the score up here again. Not that it did matter, because a win necessarily didn't actually matter, but that's just what you like to see as a fan.
Yeah, you want to show up Leland, for the fans. You want to show up for the
exactly.
fans, for an ally. Yeah,
100%. Leland Archer not getting more time because of his injury, I guess. That was obviously not good. That's an unfortunate piece of news there. I really would hate to hear something like that, but you can't, you know, that's not something that you can control at all times. So that is a sad part of this. And when it comes down to managing player workloads, obviously I don't think that necessarily helps Nathan Dos Santos. Yeah. And another player that I have thought about the workload for is Sebastian Cruz. I think Sebastian Cruz has proven himself to be a very good player for the Rowdies over the course of the season. Not only is he doing a lot of different things, like playing in a lot of different roles, but he generally seems to be doing them well. There's another phrase, if I can take us out for a second, the master of all, or jack of all trades, master of none. And Sebastian Cruz is not like that. He has played a lot of different trades, if you want to go there, but he has done extremely well in several of them.
Yeah.
There are games to forget, maybe like Lexington, but generally he's done well. So he started this past game. I was expecting him to, I don't know, maybe not play the whole 90 minutes, I suppose.
Yeah.
But he did. And so we'll see how his workload continues to be worked out over the course of the season. Gennaro Nigro, he made his debut for the Rowdies, coming on in the 75th minute for Isaiah LaFleur.
What's his legacy number? Did we have that?
We Eureka, do you, have that, but I don't have it in front of me.
Our
producer Eureka is probably available there. But he came on for Isaiah LaFleur. I believe Isaiah LaFleur was brought in specifically on loan because Nigro was not available previously. So we'll see if that just stays that way, or if they make any other roster moves. I don't know that that means that they can just get rid of LaFleur necessarily, and he can also play another position. So it might not be the wisest thing, but that's something to keep in mind here, is Nigro is available. Archer probably is not.
By the way, legacy number 462. He's the 462nd Rowdies player to make a competitive appearance. Super great. Good for him. Congrats. I know he's been coming back from battling a long road back from injury. So it's been really, really – it was nice to see him back out on the field. Or not back out, on the field, just in general for the Tampa Bay Rowdies. Pretty sweet. You mentioned he came on for LaFleur. LaFleur is getting some significant minutes here, which was interesting. Give Ostrom some rest at that left side. And now there's some serious competition, though. Just, I mean, think about that left side. Right now you have Ostrom, you have LaFleur, you have Nigro coming back to full health. I'm not really sure if LaFleur could play on the right side, too. It seems like he's kind of like a you know, multiple position type of guy. So maybe he can flank or kind of give some rest to Sebastian Cruz when the time comes as well on the right side, because Cruz doesn't really have a lot of depth on his side right now. Haven't seen Akoff around in a little bit, right? Wonder what's going on there. But LaFleur looked interesting. Like he was getting up the field and creating a couple chances, and his shot in the 43rd, 44th minute was what led to the Rowdies' second goal. He took a nice shot with a lot of pace, some bend to it, that Naples keeper had to make a save on, pushed it out wide. Dolabella tracked it down and chips it, kind of just falling away right across the face of the goal where Conway was there to slot in the easiest goal of his life. That's probably another thing to note here, Conway getting back on the score sheet. He's gone a number of games without scoring. And he took a number of shots in this one. Like he was, you know, really intent on breaking that little bit of a dry spell for him. And he did. So I think that's really great news for him too, for us to be able to maybe have him getting back into some goal scoring rhythm, have him come off the bench if needed, or have him start. We have a lot of games coming up, even in that run, looking ahead, again, not trying to look too far ahead, but thinking about that game against Louisville already later. In August, after this two-game away run to Loudoun and then Miami, you have Saturday, August 1st against Louisville. The next Saturday, you go away to Orange County, which is a really, really great team, and obviously across the country. And then you come back and play a midweek game against Louisville again for the Prince Stars quarterfinal. So there's just it's going to be a lot of soccer, a decent amount of travel, long away trip for the one game against Orange County on August 8th. Like, I like to see that the general theme of the team right now is guys are coming back from injury. But there's a couple, you know, notable exceptions, particularly Leland Archer going down so early. I don't know what that means for his long-term availability. If it was just a precautionary thing to like get him off the field and make sure that he is available going forward. Right. Who knows? Not me, not James. But I will say on the other side of things, one thing I did like was that Learman was getting the start in this game. The plan was for him to start, and he did. And Dos Santos was on the bench, and ideally he was there longer than he was. But with the injuries and Schaefer injury earlier in this recently, I think we're going to rely a little bit more on Learman than we would have anticipated at this point in the year. And he looked pretty good. I mean, he was comfortable on the ball. He had actually, I'm looking at his FOTMOB stats, 56 out of 58 successful passes. He was playing the ball out from the back a lot. He's pretty quick for his size. He's a big dude. He's physical, and he looks pretty comfortable. And I think that's all I really wanted to see out of him in this game, because like I said, going forward, it seems like we're going to be relying on him a bit more. So it's good to have him get a good amount of minutes here with the team, with Dos Santos, who's probably going to be his starting duo going into the game against Loudoun this weekend. By the way, Learman's former team. So for whatever that's worth, maybe a little bit of an edge there for him. But I think that was, you know, beyond Conway scoring, beyond Henderlong being the Prince Tires goat, that was kind of like a randomly, I don't know if exciting is the right word, but comforting thing that Learman got the start, played a lot of minutes, and looked good, played a full 90, and looked comfortable out there with these boys and with Jamali Waite behind him. Like, good chemistry game for him. I think that'll be very valuable for us in the next X number of weeks, however long it takes for a Schaefer or a Leland Archer to get back. Yeah, same thing with LaFleur, by the way. Good thing to see LaFleur out there for a lot of minutes, getting comfortable with this squad. He looks, like I said, pretty good. Nigro looks pretty good. Looks like we have a couple of options up that left side, including Charlie Ostrom, who'd been playing great soccer going into this game. So, James, I'm pretty comfortable around the field, except the questions around the health at the center back area. But like I said, Learman being there for a full 90 makes me a little bit more comfortable.
Yeah.
You want to say anything about Gino Vivi, by the way? Did he do much? It was just cool to see him on the field for getting a start. I don't think he'd started for the Rowdies yet. He'd come off the bench a number of times. Scored against Lexington, got his first Rowdies goal, and really hadn't found a spot on the team yet. He's got a good dribbling skill set. He can get, you know, down the wing pretty quickly, puts in a good ball, and that finish he had against Lexington was really impressive. He looked good. It looks like he has some of that available for us if we need it. I don't know if he's going to consistently get minutes over like a Cicerone on that side right now, but he looked good, and I think it's something to keep an eye on going forward, and a nice weapon to have, if nothing else, off of the bench, like I said, with all the games coming up.
Yeah.
I think that's everything I wanted to hit on. That's all the fun stuff, all the good news. Yeah. I think overall, just a fine vibes game. Got the train back on the track.
Yes.
1-2-0. Like you said, probably could have won by, you know, 3, 4, maybe 5 goals, really take care of business. But the reality is you won your game. You did what you needed to do, or not even needed to do. Like I said, we could have lost this game by 20 and it literally would have made no difference. And we move. We're good.
Yeah, I like that. I like that all of that worked out, obviously. I think that we're looking good for Louisville City. That's a little ways out, about a month. But Louisville City will be, I mean, it's an opponent that you can't like rest on your laurels, I suppose. If we had drawn Spokane, I don't know how the draw works in this, so I don't know if that's like possible.
All random. But, it was all random.
Okay, yeah, so it could have been. But
yeah,
if we had drawn Spokane, I feel like that's one where a lot of people, you know, don't take it as seriously. It's a Wednesday game, which they don't get as much attendance generally. They don't get as much hype. They don't get as much focus, all of those things. Getting Louisville City, that means that we do have to kind of dial in all over again. Even when Louisville City is playing poorly, which comparatively they are right now, comparative to what they usually do, that's still a game that they turn up for. I think we all know that because Louisville City against the Rowdies has produced some of the best games in the USL in the history of the modern era, let's say. And so I think that Louisville knows what this means. And I think that they will give us a good run. So,
yeah,
I'm happy about that part, too.
You say they're playing poorly, relatively speaking, to like their normal standards, which is probably fair. But by the way, their last loss was that game against us way back on May 30th, which feels like an eternity ago. That 2-0 loss we gave them in Louisville. Since then, they've gone 6 unbeaten, including a pretty impressive win against Lexington 4-2 in the crazy game. By the way, that game was wild this weekend in the Cup. Look at those highlights if you want to watch some chaos of USL. 1-0 win over Hartford, pretty good team. 2-0 win away to Phoenix, which is no easy place to play. They drew against Detroit in Detroit before beating them in penalties in the Prince Tires Cup. Detroit is obviously third place in the conference. Very, very good team. So they've certainly found some rhythm relative to where they were at the beginning of the year. And we're getting ahead of ourselves. But the point is Louisville is going to be a fun game, regardless of whether they're awful or good. But right now they're trending towards the good side of things. Rowdy versus Naples, 2-0. I think we're still undefeated against them, right, technically. We beat them in the USL Cup game last year, and then we tied and beat them in penalties and Open Cup. So 3 games. 2.5 wins, we'll say. 2 wins and a draw / win in penalties. We own Naples for whatever that's worth. Shout out to that one security guard that wore the wolf ears last year and was really annoying, but was a fun time to mess around with in Naples.
I hope that we get to go there again so that we can bring out the wolf ears and have our own little in-joke that probably most of them won't even know what we're talking about, other than, to be fair, the Wolf Lodge is pretty close by.
Yeah. I will say this tournament group stage has been pretty fun. I've enjoyed it. I've enjoyed walking over some of these teams. Hope we can do it again next year. I would imagine it kind of just flips, right? We play the teams we played at home away next year and the teams we played away at home, something like that.
Presumably, yeah.
That means a Naples away game. That means a quote-unquote away game 40 minutes south to Sarasota, which I think will be so fun. That's something I'm going to clear my calendar for. Like, when it comes time to play, when the schedule comes out next year and we see Rowdies at Sarasota, like that'll be pretty sweet. Like,
yeah,
everybody should be out there. Like, it'll be a fun time. And I've enjoyed these little regional matchups that we've gotten with our Florida peers. And I think we've continued to establish ourselves as kind of the top dog of the side of the state. So good for us. Good for Carson Henderlong. Good for the boys. And shout out to all the guys that are fighting for minutes here. Like, there's a lot of names that we're rotating in and getting some opportunities here. I'm pretty excited to see what some of these guys can do, like, particularly looking at Henderlong, LaFleur, who had a great game, maybe even Vivi. Like, some of these guys are fishing for some more minutes here, Jim. So there's some good action on the field against Naples. And we'll see what that means for them going forward on the squad.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Great game. Rowdies win. You want to do man of the match?
Let's do it.
Okay. I'm going to go first and lead us off with an easy one for me. I'm going to go with Carson Henderlong because he is the Prince Tires GOAT. He dominates whenever it's the Prince Tires Cup games for some reason. He hasn't gotten a ton of minutes, and I think when he has, he's shown through. So I'm really, really excited to see what he can continue doing for this team. Maybe we just, again, only play him in the Prince Cyrus Cup and he leads us all the way to victory. But I think he's certainly earned some more minutes than he's gotten. Great, great game from him. He looked good, comfortable out there, creating plays, finishing. He's fun to watch. So good for him. Him and MD Myers just have an insane battle for that striker position. They're just two quality players. So shout out to Carson Underlong for the minutes he has gotten and taken advantage of, like in this game against Naples.
Yes, he was obviously a standout man. He has actually earned 3 Man of the Match awards from RBLR Sports, specifically for cup games. So there you go. He's standing out in the USL Prince Cyrus Cup. For me, I have gone with players multiple times over the course of the season when they hit double digits of defensive contributions on FOTMOB. And so I will do the same again. Yanni Learman, in his first start for the Rowdies, had 10 defensive contributions for us. So that's easy enough. It was a shutout and, you know, it's Naples, but still you have to do the work at some point. And he did the work. He did step up and he got that done with Archer potentially out for a longer period. We don't know. Schaefer, we're not entirely sure. We are going to possibly see more of Learman, right?
Yeah, Schaefer.
This is interesting.
The one that was a little bit more accessible was the Schaefer injury. Knew he had a groin injury, had an operation done a few weeks ago. Don't know what the timeline is on his injury, but we'll see. But I think if you're a fan and you, what, let's just say we assume the worst, right? Let's say Learman and Archer are out. Sorry, not Learman. Schaefer and Archer are out for an extended period of time, right? We won't have them around for a little bit. It's good to know Learman was out there, talked about that a little bit, played well in this game, more than anything. Just continue to get comfortable because we might be relying on you a bit more than we anticipate at this point in the year, which is great because the guy's talented, really, really good. This has just been a really talented squad that's been hard to get minutes on for him. So, back home this weekend against his former team, going away to his former team, to his former home, at Loud United. That'll be a good one. And before we talk about that, James, I'm going to plug the RBLR shop, because if you like the podcast and want to support us just a little bit more, go get some merchandise at shop.rblrsports.com. That's shop.rblrsports.com. And use promo code COYR for 10% everything off. 10% everything off. 10% off everything on the website. Tons of Rowdies, themed merchandise, Sun, Lightning, Bucks, Rays. It's all there. So go check it out. Get yourself some merch and, come on up to Loudon this weekend if you're in the area or you want to take a quick away trip. Frontier Airlines is ridiculously cheap. Find the flight and get up here for $100. Come hang out. Shouldn't be that hard to take over that stadium, if we're being honest.
Yeah.
By the way, Fort Wayne got a red card in the first minute against One Knoxville. I'm curious to see what's going on in that game when we're done with this podcast. If you want some USL midweek action, go check out whatever the hell's going on in Knoxville. Let's talk about what's going to go on in Loudon this weekend, which is hopefully a 20-0 drubbing of Loudon United, who is not in great form. We will see what happens, though, on Saturday at 7 p.m., right after the FIFA World Cup third place game between France and England, which is an insane third place game.
It is, honestly. I thought France were my pre-tournament favorites.
Yeah, it sounds like a final. So might be the first time in a while I'll actually sit down and watch that. But I'll be on the way to this game in Loudon at 7 p.m. from Sager Field in Leesburg, Virginia, cute little town, right off of the Ashburn Metro stop. The final stop on the Metro. Is it a part of the D.C. Metro area? Up for debate. But what's not up for debate is that the Rowdies are playing there on Saturday. And I hope we win, because Loudon have only one win in their last 9 matchups. And that win, James, was against, you know it, a League One side in Richmond that has not been playing that great either. That's their only win in their last nine games. They're currently second to last in the league, ahead of Jacksonville. Who, James, can you shout out how many points Jacksonville has in the league right now?
I can. I noted this because it shocked me when I double checked it. I did the notes here for this little portion. And as Carlos said, Loudon have second last, I believe, with 12 ahead, or excuse me, 11 ahead of Sporting Jacks, who have 4 points over the course of the 2026 season. Four points. I don't know. I mean, I don't know how Sporting Jacks have done the job at recruiting, I guess, that they have done. Is that the nicest way to phrase that?
Yeah.
Yeah. Antigua Barracuda.
Yeah. There was a great story I read on them the other day. I think it was like on BBC, by the way, just like covering what actually the hell Antigua Barracuda was. But yeah, Jacksonville sucks and Loudon is marginally better than them. In fact, one of Loudon's recent non-losses was actually a draw to Sporting Jacksonville at home, 2-2 in Leesburg, Virginia.
Yes.
Loudon United and Sporting Jacks. Crazy game there, by the way. Jacksonville went up 1-0 in the 46th minute. Loudon scored in the 82nd minute to tie it. And then they took the lead in the 91st minute. And then Jacksonville equalized in the 94th minute. That's a crazy game. It's one of those games where it's like two really awful teams can sometimes just produce like a banger of a matchup. That's looks like what happened when those two clashed. So the point is, Loudon had a moment or so like earlier in the year where I was like, wow, they could be pretty good. But I say that every year. I think last year was the only year where it proved to be somewhat true. And I think they finished in like fifth place, maybe. They're not good. A likely lineup right now, unfortunately, includes former Tampa Bay Rowdy Ethan Bondre, who I really liked last year, but it's just not been going well for them, and I hope we put a few past him. He'll be in net, most likely, behind Noah Adenen, Jacob Erlinson, and Sal Mazzaferro. Midfield of Christian Torres, James Murphy, Bolu Akinyode, solid player, Kwame Awua, and Jack Paniotu, former Georgetown Hoya. Up top, Abdelatif Abukora and Thor Ulfarsson. James, there's a couple players that may get starts, rotated in and out. Andres Super, Richie Amon, Kimi Ordonez is a player who you might have heard of. We've hyped him up before on this podcast. He is very, very good. He played for a little bit for my girlfriend's favorite team, FC Cincinnati. And he's a solid player. It's interesting how some of these teams shape up as the year goes on, because you read through some of the names and it's like, wow, there's some solid USL players on here, right? Jack Boniotu had a couple great seasons around the USL, whether it was with Rhode Island or now with Loudon. Bolu Akinyode has been really good at different points in his USL career. Kimi Ordonez is a young player who has a lot of potential still, I think. Maybe just hasn't found all of it yet. So there's some solid players on here, but it hasn't really clicked. And I couldn't tell you why that is, because I haven't watched much Loudon United action this year.
Carlos, you're supposed to be our Loudon correspondent.
Yeah, I'd be lying to you if I said I made the trip out to Leesburg, Virginia all that often. I don't have a car. It is so hard to get to without a car. It's just kind of one of those places I don't really have reason to go to. Although I should have been there recently. This weekend they played against Pittsburgh. I have a friend that plays on Pittsburgh. That would have been fun to watch, but I didn't make it out there. Point is, James, looking at the forms, looking at where we are on the table, I think everyone has a general idea of where this game should go.
Right.
A lot of your starters got rest this past weekend. A lot of them didn't. A lot of them played good minutes or maybe even a full 90, which I think is great, because we didn't play a midweek game or anything. Like, it was a weekend game. It's fine. Like, you know, normal schedule of games here, normal cadence of games once every week. So guys are fresh. Guys have played, you know, soccer to stay fresh or they're rested. Like, I think we have all the vibes needed to go in and take care of business against a team that we should beat. However, big however, we saw what happened when we kind of went into that game against Lexington with that mindset. And we were at home, right? Yeah. I would hope that we kind of learned our lesson by now with that kind of thing. You're playing a team that's a good amount worse than you. And you're going to their house, right? So they're going to get up for it. Like, they want to get a signature win in front of their, like, you know, their local fans. I don't think it'll be like a walk in the park or anything. I think it'll be gritty. It'll be feisty. It's a young team. They have a lot to prove, like, individually as players. That's just kind of the nature of a loud and united team. It's a lot of guys that have a lot to prove. And as a club, they're just, you know, they want a big win in front of their local crowd, right? So they'll get up for it. I hope we go in with the intensity needed to match theirs. Otherwise, I think we could get caught out again, like we did against Lexington. But I'm not sure that's going to be the case because we're away. I think that comes with an understanding that it's not like, you know, you're not comfortable at home like you would be against a Lexington. You went into that mindset and maybe you got caught out. I'm hoping since we're away, since we learned that lesson, that that's not the case and we come out with the right intensity. I think that's my little monologue on it. And I think we should be all right. Thoughts? Agree? Disagree? Am I crazy?
I don't think you're crazy, as much as I would like to say so. We probably are expected to win this game, but the issue was, according to coaching staff, according to players, the issue in our loss to Lexington was intensity in the first 5, 10, 15 minutes. Let's just avoid that. Let's just avoid that. And if we avoid that, I think we will be perfectly capable of putting Loudoun and United away. Let's make this the professional game that it's supposed to be. We've had one professional good win this week within this week's time from when we recorded. Let's have another one. Let's just have another one. Let's be professional about it. And that means rising to the intensity needed to match our opponent at the very least, right?
And maybe even beyond professional. Let's be a little bit unprofessional. Let's go score 6 goals and not really care about how they feel, right? Like, I like a little bit of a blowout. I think, I don't know, I'm speculating how guys feel. I don't know the guys on the team super well or super personally, but like, if I'm MD Myers and I'm like, damn, like, I'm scoring goals, like, I want to be on the field as much as possible, like, you know, score as many goals as possible, getting my, you know, my value up, getting the golden boot race, right? I'm going to be a little annoyed that I didn't get to start this weekend. I'm going to go out there against Loudoun and be like, all right, like, I see you, Carson. I'm going to score 2 or 3. Now. You know, like, let's see what happens. But I think there's a lot of guys who, like I said, are rested because they didn't play and maybe ready to go now that they're going to have an opportunity to be back out in the field. And the guys that did play, like maybe Dos Santos and Learman, like, they're on a normal cadence of soccer. They're ready to go. And they've gotten the right minutes needed to kind of stay comfortable with each other. Mm-hmm. Assuming that Learman and Dos Santos is the starting duo in the back on Saturday, I like that they played essentially a full 90 together to really get that chemistry continuing to go. So I love it. I love it. We're good. We're good. Not, by the way, not that Learman hasn't been around the team. Like, he's been around. He hasn't been injured or anything. Right. He just hasn't played much. So the chemistry is already there from practice and the preseason that they've gone through together. He's been around. To my knowledge, he hasn't been injured or anything. Like, he just hasn't played. So I think any concerns that come out around, I don't know, like, just not having played any minutes really, to going from that to being a starter, I think we'll be all right with him. That's how I feel about this game. I don't really have any deep analysis about Loudoun or their play style or anything. Like I said, I'm not a successful RBLR Sports Loudoun United correspondent. I've just seen the results and I've seen some highlights and how they look, and it's not super great. They have that win against Richmond. It was their last win in 9 games on June 6th. Before that, they had a win against one of the other really bad teams in the league right now in Brooklyn. They won 1-0 over there. other than that, they just have a win in the Open Cup against Westchester United, and that's their season so far. They have 3 wins, 2 of them against, well, 1 of them against a League One team, a second one against a League Two team, maybe NPSL. I don't know what Westchester United is.
Westchester is USL League One.
No, Westchester United, different.
I'm sorry. I see.
Yeah. Or it's like West space Chester United, and it's a white logo with.
Oh, that is okay. That's USL League Two. Okay.
Are they in the USL?
Yes, okay, I remember because I was looking around USL League Two games when I was up in the Northeast / down in the Philly area.
Yeah.
So yes,
they're in Pennsylvania.
They are USL League Two.
They are in West space Chester, Pennsylvania. You're right.
Yes, that's right. They are close to Philly, but not, I guess, obviously, by
they're
the name,
in West,
not Philly.
It's Chester. Yeah. It says on Wikipedia they play in NPSL and League Two, which I didn't know was possible. But regardless, Loudoun kind of sucks. Like, their win was against West-based Chester United, Brooklyn, and League One Richmond Kickers. I like Richmond Kickers. I do. I really do. But they're not very good. They're in second to last place in League One.
Yeah.
And Richmond actually beat them in the Open Cup this year. I just saw that. Do you know that? The Richmond Kickers beat Loudoun United in the Open Cup this year?
I didn't know that offhand because I know, well, obviously we're a little bit past this now, but all of the USL teams are out of the Open Cup. So
yeah.
any like upsets or anything are just past me, unfortunately.
Yeah, it feels like forever ago, April. Okay, let's give predictions. All that considered, let's not be Loudoun's fourth win on the season. Let's not be their second league win. Let's not be their what? Damn, they draw a good amount though. Let's not be their ninth draw either. Let's go out there and win. And I'll give my prediction. But James, I want you to lead us off. Give us good vibes to start off. What do you think?
I went with this, even though somebody else had gone with this, and it was not because I had seen theirs. I honestly did completely forget what they wrote because the England-Argentina game overtook my brain for 2+ hours today. But I went with a 3-1 win to the Rowdies. And in so doing, I have gone with the same scoreline that our writer Parker went with, a 3-1 win. Our producer Eureka has gone with a 2-0 win, who therefore is joined by our other writer Connor on a 2-0 win prediction. So two of us or two groups of us are doing one thing, and Carlos, you're the only one with an outlier score, although it is also a win.
Yeah, I went with something else. I was gonna go with actually like both of those score lines were what I was initially thinking, 2-0 and then 3-1. 2-0 feels pretty solid just because of the trend of beating worse teams by like not a blowout amount, but a comfortable game. I'm gonna go 3-0 for this game. Loudoun really hasn't figured it out. They've conceded 28 goals on the year, which is second worst in the conference, only to guess who? Sporting Jax. Do you want to take a stab in the dark as to how many goals Sporting Jax has conceded just in league play? 15 games.
Conceded? 15 games.
15 games, league play. How many goals have they conceded?
40.
If it's worse than 28. How much did you say?
40.
Close. 41.
Jeez. Us.
this isn't like a podcast designed to crap on Sporting Jax. It just happens naturally sometimes when I look at the table and I.
It happens naturally numbers. When you see what they're doing.
Yeah, that's crazy. Like 28 is not a good number. And then you look at 41 and it seems like, wow, they're actually not doing that bad. Okay. So all that said, Rowdies win 3-0 is my prediction because I think we can score a good amount of goals on this team. I think a shutout is maybe a little bit hopeful just based on kind of the rotation going on at the back right now and maybe shakeups happening. But Loudoun is not a super strong offensive team either. So, yeah, I feel pretty good about that. Okay, so 5 predictions, 5 wins. That's me going 3-0, James 3-1, Parker going 3-1, Eureka going 2-0, and Connor going 2-0. Hopefully, we all get at least 1 point for a win
result. At least one. If they win by your beloved 6-0, then we will all get 1 point.
There you go. I will be there to push the boys on. So if we win, you can thank me. And if we lose, it's not my fault.
And anybody else around the area, please join Carlos. He doesn't want to be the only person in green and gold.
I got a couple of my friends coming with me. They're adopting the Rowdies for the weekend. We'll have a good time. Yeah, there's always been a few Rowdies fans I see that are in the area when I get to the Loudon matchup. So I don't know if they're the type of fans that listen to this podcast, but if you are, hit my line. We'll grab a beer. Okay, extra time, World Cup, great games, good stuff. Final officially decided, Argentina versus Spain. Two teams that I can't say I love very much, but it'll be a fun matchup regardless. Different play styles for sure, which I think will be really fun to watch. Third place game will even be good too. It's the first time ever where the top four FIFA ranked teams made it to semifinals. So whatever happened, you were going to get a good matchup. And I think we did. It'll be fun. Thoughts, James? Who do you think wins?
I don't know. I have felt conflicted the last couple of games. Who do you think is going to win? I don't know.
Well, I'm going to say Spain against my better judgment. And I say that because I've picked against Argentina a number of times already in the tournament, even when they're playing against worse teams. They had an insanely easy run to semifinals, like if we're being honest, right? Cabo Verde, Egypt, Switzerland. It wasn't a lot going on in that department. And they looked down and out a couple of times in those three games. So yeah, like, by the time you get to England, I'm like, all right, yeah, we can count them out. And then they found a way to do it again. Like, I think that's kind of the vibe of that team, which scares me if you're Spain, like, because regardless of whatever you do, like, I don't know if there's anything you can tactically do to just prepare for the vibes that they throw at you for 15 minutes at the end of the game when you're inevitably winning by one or two goals, but there's nothing you can do about the comeback, right? Like, Spain will be winning when the second half rolls around and you get toward the last 30, 20, 15 minutes. It's just a matter of, like, can the friendship and vibes of Lionel Messi just push them over at the line once again? I don't know. Spain's really good.
I haven't really known what to do. My friends and I are doing this little prediction game just amongst ourselves. And all that is putting the, like we do here, actually, it's the score line and who wins. And I have been wrong. I've been wrong for all four semifinals now. I think I chose England. No, I chose Argentina to win on penalties today. In the other game, I chose France to beat Spain after extra time. I think the quarterfinals is what I meant when I said all four. But the quarterfinals, I think I got every one of those wrong as well. Jeez. So, I am batting 1,000 when it comes to my predictions. I said France would beat Morocco. I didn't get the score. I said Spain would beat Belgium. I didn't get the score. I think I said, oh, you know what? No, I did actually get it exactly right for England versus Norway, but I was definitely off again on Argentina versus Switzerland. So my predictions here, they've been very poor recently. Yeah. But that's probably got a lot to do with just how random and chaotic a lot of these games have been, to be fair to me.
Yeah. It's been a fun tournament. I've enjoyed watching, for sure.
Yeah.
In the middle of all of that, the Prince Cyrus Cup has been ongoing. Good matchups this weekend. What made the headlines was Cristo Fernandez, also known as Danny Rojas in the Ted Lasso TV show on Apple TV, made his debut for El Paso, which was just awesome. Like, it was hilarious. Apparently, he's, like, pretty good. And they brought him on in a game that was, like a real game. It wasn't just, like, a meaningless game like ours was this weekend. Like, it was a real game. Unfortunately for him, as soon as he came on, they conceded two goals and lost to New Mexico. But it's not really his fault. He's a striker, I think. So not really much he was included in. He did come on and immediately get a yellow card. So way to set the tone for sure. I appreciate that from him. But good for him. That's kind of fun. I like him in the TV show. And it was fun to see him actually like play real soccer. So good for him. Okay. James, I think that's all I had. Anything else from you?
We've covered everything that I have on my mind.
Cool. This has been the RBLR Rowdies podcast. Thank you for listening. Follow us on all the social medias, on Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, Facebook, Threads, anywhere and everywhere at RBLR Sports. You can follow me at CarlosDPA10, and James is on Twitter at
RBLR James K.
There you go. Hashtag Ask RBLR. Thanks for joining us live if you did. Always check us out. Follow us on social media. See when we're going live. Like and subscribe to the podcast. Get the full experience of our faces being in front of your screens, monitors, whatever the hell you're watching on. You can see my face really close up because my laptop is not very far away from my head. And you can listen to the podcast just audio on Spotify, iHeartRadio app, Apple, Google Podcasts, all the podcast platforms. We are there. James, it's been a good hour here of chatting Rowdies, chatting World Cup. Comfortable win over Naples. I'm hoping for another one this weekend. Keep an eye out for me on TV. I'll be wearing my super bright Rowdies jersey, taking my flag. We'll make some noise, me and a couple of my friends. I'll teach them the chants by the time we get to the stadium.
There we go.
James, for one more week of Rowdy soccer. We're still playing soccer, James. We're still playing soccer. The Rowdies are alive. The Rowdies are kicking. Can't say that about all lower league USL teams at this point. But we're playing soccer, and we're winning. We're still in first place. Let's go get another one this weekend. Come on, you Rowdies.
Come on, you Rowdies.
Thank you for tuning into this presentation by RBLR Sports. On your way out of the stadium, please remember to like and subscribe.